Did they or didn't they? The Russians, I mean. Did they have anything to do with the downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17? U.S. and Ukrainian officials say Russia had at least an indirect role, supplying the missile that shot down the plane to the rebels in eastern Ukraine who fired it. But Russia and its president, Vladimir Putin, strongly reject suggestions they played any role. I spoke about this today with Time magazine's Simon Schuster. He covers Russia and Ukraine, and he's been covering the story of Flight 17 since the tragedy happened. That includes visiting the crash site, an experience that stays with him.
The most difficult part overall was seeing the personal effects, the possessions of the passengers strewn about, totally unguarded. You know, I saw a lot of children's things, you know, pink suitcases, toys. A lot of people were clearly headed on vacation.
For his latest Time cover story, though, Schuster shifts his focus to the Russian response to the crisis. The story is entitled, In Russia, Crime Without Punishment. In it, he takes a close look at Putin's unapologetic foreign policy in the context of what happened to Flight 17. I asked Schuster what it was like to hear the Russian response to the incident after reporting from the crash site.
It's gut-wrenching, I'm sure, particularly for the families. You know, we don't have a smoking gun. We don't have an evident direct link between the downing of this plane and Vladimir Putin. But, you know, the fact that Russia has supported the rebels, provided them with weapons, all of that is known. And for Putin to completely skirt, you know, any kind of responsibility, to simply point the finger of blame immediately at Ukraine, even the same night as the catastrophe, that's painful. I mean, that's painful for the victims, and I think for a lot of the diplomats and global leaders who have to still sit at the table at various international political venues across from President Putin.
In your piece, you argue that Putin creates problems in no small measure so he can solve them.
That's right. Yeah, we've seen that pretty consistently in the past year. I mean, last year there was a crisis in Syria that was fueled by Russian weapons and Russian diplomatic cover in the United Nations and elsewhere. Then we saw the conflict over Crimea and the annexation of Crimea. And immediately thereafter, we saw the Russian meddling in eastern Ukraine. And after each and every one of those, Putin finds himself, again, the man that everybody needs to talk to. And that makes him seem to his own populace a powerful leader and a great leader. And it makes the West look fairly weak and indecisive by contrast.
Now, the U.S. has imposed sanctions on Russia. Have they had any effect?
Yeah, I think from Putin's behavior, it's quite clear that he is very keen to dodge the sanctions without having to renege on his broader strategy in Ukraine. And he's done that very effectively. So it's a very delicate game. You know, it sort of reminds me often of the fact that he's a black belt in judo, and he has that kind of judo-esque capability of backing away at exactly the right time and throwing his opponent off balance. That's been the behavior, and I think we're going to see that now as well. He's going to back off. He's going to allow for this investigation to proceed. But he's not going to stop pursuing the broader strategy, which is to destabilize Ukraine to the point when it's just not a functioning state.
Simon, finally, we've been talking with you throughout the conflict. You've covered a lot of the fighting. How do these last few days compare with the previous weeks and months?
You know, these have been particularly hard. I think every escalation of the conflict, a lot of the reporters here, myself included, we've sort of periodically sat down at moments of calm and looked back and wondered, how the hell did we get here? You know, we remember the revolution in February, the Ukrainian revolution that brought a new government to power, when there were clashes in the streets of Kyiv, mainly with sticks, rocks, and Molotov cocktails. You know, and less than 6 months later, we're in a situation where people in Ukraine, they have tanks, paramilitaries have tanks, they have anti-aircraft missiles, and tragedies like MH17 is possible. So there's this constant sense of barreling towards God knows what next could happen. You know, how much worse could it get? And the feeling among reporters here is that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Simon Schuster is Time Magazine's reporter in Russia. He's covering the situation now in Ukraine. We spoke with him from Kiev. Simon, thanks as always.
Thank you.